I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roman Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, romanoz.com.au.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, you remember last week's show, we were chatting with Peter and Duncan from the Outback Camels.
Yes, that's correct.
In Silverton.
Yes.
Now, this program is all around Silverton, and we're going to start off with Peter and Patsy from the iconic Silverton Hotel.
And then we're going to stop in and see John Dynan, or a.k.a. the Emu Man.
That's it, the Emu Man, Dino to his friends.
Yeah, a local artist.
That's it. And then from there, we are just going to shoot up the road and I'm going to be catching up with Adrian from the Mad Max Museum.
I'm sure you're going to enjoy that one.
I am going to have an absolute ball up there. Now, I've given myself about 3 or 4 hours up there because I absolutely love the Mad Max Museum. And I know Adrian's going to give us a really good discussion about the whole area, the museum. It's fantastic. You've got to see it, listeners.
Yep. Okay.
So, Lynn, what do you reckon?
On with the show.
Hi, hello listeners, I'm Phil C and we're in Silverton with Peter and Patsy from the iconic Silverton Hotel. How are you both today?
Good, Phil.
Really, great to see you.
Thanks so much for taking the time. Now, Lynn's also with us and I'm not sure if you want to ask any questions, Lynn.
I'll leave it up to you, Phil.
All right, for the moment, let's talk about the hotel. How old is the hotel, Peter?
The hotel has been in operation for 138 years.
Okay.
And I reckon that's a pretty good mark these days.
Yes.
The current hotel in 2018, we celebrated 100 years of operation in this particular building. So, Phil, it went through three. We had in 1884, it was established on the where the stage is out in the front. And then it popped over to the two-storey, which was built, and that's... was burnt down in 1918. Mm-hmm. I think we probably broke it. Silverton was coming to a little bit of an end through its time then. But it was sad to see any pub burnt down. And this was built in 1884, the current building we're in now. Mm-hmm. And it was a post office originally.
Oh. Yep.
So it went from being a post office into a hotel in 1918.
Okay.
And that's where it's been trading ever since.
Now, I understand you both have had the hotel for about 11 years, is
that's
that correct? So what would make you want to buy a hotel in the middle of, it's almost like desert out here. It's a beautiful place, but it's not for everybody. Patsy, maybe you can answer that one for us from a lady's point of view. Were you shocked when Peter said, hey, we're going to buy a pub in the middle of a desert? Or?
Yeah, well, we weren't going to buy a pub. We came back and bought the old Catholic church.
Okay.
And worked on it for, how long? A couple of years. Doing it up, and we kept it as a church. It's still a church.
Okay.
And then we decided we were going to live in it. Then we decided we wouldn't. A block of land came with it. It was the presbytery site to the church.
Right.
So we decided to build up there.
Okay.
And then from there, we sort of got it to lock up, just about to lock up, and Pete had a dream that he bought he actually dreamt that he bought the Silverton pub.
Really? A dream?
Yes. A dream. Dreams do come true.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because we were just going to have it as a little getaway, the house, somewhere to come to. We travelled a lot of Australia.
Uh-huh.
And when we went back to Portland first, we lived in the beginning, and then Adelaide for 28 years. We were plumbers for 42 years.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
So our connection also goes back a little bit better than that, because Patsy is the connection this way, and she came in here in 1947
as
a six-month-old baby in a wagonette, horse and wagonette with a mum and dad.
Really?
And they were drovers travelling around out back New South Wales.
Okay.
And I think her mum said, Jack, time you stopped.
Okay.
And we got a house. So Silverton was it.
They actually, where the wind farm is now, they came to Silverton to manage that station. It was called Silver Vale in those days.
Right,
So that's how we got to Silverton.
I actually love this little town. I really do. It's got a population of only about 30 people, is that right?
35.
35 people.
And 4 donkeys, don't forget them.
I haven't seen them yet.
Yeah, they're around.
Famous donkeys that sort of wander around the streets.
Yeah.
Now, with this pub, though, they've made some brilliant movies here, haven't they?
Oh, they sure have, yes.
Absolutely iconic Australian films.
Yes.
And I guess a lot of people come to have a look at the hotel and also to have a look at the memorabilia inside the hotel.
Yeah, for sure.
The photographs of the actors and so on and so forth.
Yeah, so we're celebrating this year 40 years of Mad Max 2.
Right.
And for those that watched it in those years, 40 years has gone by, folks.
Oh, mate, yeah. I was one of them.
Yeah, and so for sure, the filming industry put Silverton on the map as far as the big picture concerned, and that's, you know, worldwide now. We're known from all over the place. And so a lot of people do, you know, it's a go-to venue. And the memorabilia, I think our bar is a bit more like a museum rather than a bar, but it's got the best of both worlds. You can have a beer while you look at everything.
Mm. Look, it's absolutely fantastic. And Lynn and myself have travelled quite a bit, quite extensively around Australia and seen some really great iconic hotels. Mm. We've been to the Birdsville Hotel and we went to the one where they filmed... Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, yes, the Walkabout.
The Walkabout Hotel,
which
is another iconic hotel, but there's so much stuff out there in your hotel. It's unbelievable. I mean, the people must come and want to photograph everything when they come in there, sure.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
Yes. And we've got a little criteria, because a lot of people ask us, okay, if we take some photos, and I said, yes, by all means, but make sure you show it to 12 people.
Yep.
So it self-generates a bit. But, you know, in the 10 years we've been here, it was... The old Silverton pub was probably just gone through those eras of many years and it was getting a bit tired. So we had this vision once Patsy got over my dream and we actually got in here.
Okay.
We said, right, let's take this to the next stage. And probably, you know, no real direction, but there were some things that we wanted to do. And one of the main thing was to keep it as the Silverton Hotel. The name had been established and we didn't need to go changing that, and that's why people came here. So the add-ons and what we've done, food's a big part of our hotel now.
I was going to say that, Peter, because...
There wasn't a kitchen.
And I mean, sitting now, listeners, I mean, this is fine place to eat.
Yes.
Great furniture and comfortable seating and the Red Gum Room, is that what we call
it? That's what we call it.
Well, it's a beautiful room and no doubt you serve... Beautiful meals out here.
Yep. We've stuck with pub tucker, but good, healthy Aussie food.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Bangers and mash, rissoles and onion gravy. Where can you go and get
hot dogs, our famous hot dogs.
Yeah, since you left home.
Well, look, that's true. I mean, when people come to iconic pubs in Australia, they want traditional Aussie grub, don't they?
Yep. That's right. Yep. And we've added on, you know, naturally we've got a nice big entertainment area out that side now.
Yep.
And we have... you know, some COVID has kind of stalled a little bit, but we have some great music out that way, bands, predominantly a bit of a mix, but a lot of country bands and it's kind of country based. So, and then we've put 7 rooms out the side, so we've got some really good accommodation now.
Okay.
And so you can come out and enjoy not just a trip to Silverton, but you can come out and stay the night. Really get, you know, we've got a couple of great museums, the jail and the school. You can see all about the history going back in the late 1800s about Silverton, and it's got a lot to offer.
Look, it's a great town, and a lot of people, they underestimate what's out here, don't they,
Oh, sure do.
You know, people say, oh, but what's at Silverton, you know, and you rattle off. I mean, the pub for a start.
Yes.
It's a great pub. It's a great place to come to and have a meal and a cold beer on the road when you're travelling. The Mad Max Museum.
Yes.
So many art galleries out here.
Yes,
you could spend days in Silverton alone. Photography.
Yep.
So it's a great place to come and visit.
It is.
How do you? You've got more dreams, Peter. More visions for the hotel.
Phil, I think the dreams are gone.
Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
we're still thinking about doing a bit more here.
Still thinking about. You can't stop. You know. No. You get in this and. We get sucked into the void of where we're going, and we love where we're going, and what we're doing is obviously working very well because we're just seeing bigger visitations year after year after year. So, and it's got a long way to go yet. There's a lot of people in Australia that need to get to the Silverton pub, and we're well known, which is great. I think you know most people that have travelled the outback would have heard of the Silverton Hotel. So, look, put it on your bucket list.
And it is for sale. So
then what are you going to do? Buy another pub and put this one out of business? I mean, this has grown so much in the last... Well, since you guys have had it, because I have spoken to some of the local celebrities in here, in the town of Silverton, and they said before you had it, there wasn't a lot to offer at the Silverton. It got a bit tired, I guess, for want of a better word.
Yes, yes.
You know, your meal back in those days was probably a pie or a pasty, whereas now you've got sit-down meals and great things to offer.
No, we're only going up the hill. This house that we started before I had my dream is still 11 years down the road.
Right.
Uh-huh. And we're going to move in there, and I'm going to sit in my rocking chair and and oversee the hotel.
I'll still be doing all the work.
But isn't that the way? I mean, Peter has the dream. And Patsy brings it to fruition.
No, well, it is. It's one of those things. What do you do? You know, we both love it. We're on 75 this year. Patsy's
74 in a couple of months,
and it's only a number.
It is. It is.
And it real. And we're great. And we love. We've got. You know, our passion is still here, which is great. And that's why I just would really love to see it go into the right hands, because in the right hands it could be taken to another stage and everybody would be a win-win for everybody.
Fantastic. I could understand that. There's no family members, no kids you want to leave it to, or they just don't have the desire?
Well, they're not going to pay us for it, Phil. We want to get it to money so we can retire.
No, we do. We have some great kids and they come up. They've just been up for some patties anytime we need them, they're up here.
Very passionate. They love it. Yeah.
So how was St Paddy's? Let's just talk about that for a moment. Yeah, it was a big day out here.
So we had a... it was a great weekend overall. On the Friday night, we go and have a sponsors night in a town.
Okay.
And would you believe, out of the blue, and this is bringing it back home, up there is a painting that John Dynan and Peter Brown did in 1992.
Okay.
That's been sitting in the back block somewhere.
Years old.
And we've bought it and we're going to put it in our house and we're going to live next door to where Peter Brown and John Dynan were living for all those years ago.
They painted up on that hill. Yeah. So it's going back up to the hill.
So that was good.
The painting.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
It is, fantastic.
And the races were great. We Silverton Hotel, as we've done each year, we sponsor half a race, half a horse.
Okay.
So we do that with someone else.
Okay.
And very Irish, half a horse. Paddy, what have you got for the other half?
And that was a good day. Everybody went away very happy.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Fantastic.
And that's what it's about.
Okay. Well, look, thank you so much for your time, guys.
Yeah, well,
and listeners, you've got to come out here not only to see the pub, but to sit down and have a yarn with Peter and Patsy, because you will have heard this. Fantastic people to be with and absolutely brilliant. Mate, before we wind this up, I've got to play you a song. Who's your favourite? Have you got a favourite Australian singer?
You got a favourite?
Peter?
Adam Harvey.
Adam Harvey,
great
Australian
country
singer.
He was out here at one stage for one of our music festivals. Love his deep voice.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the song you've asked us for is a number called... Yeah, I like beer.
I like beer. Why would not? What else could you say, Phil?
Well,
I like beer.
I like beer, and every Australian man likes beer. And if I can just throw a little bit of a pun in here, the first line of this is, I bought myself a beer and I bought the girl a sex on the beach. And I'm sure you're going to love this track, listeners. So stick around for more Roman Oz straight after that.
Table for two. I thought now's the time to make my move. So I bought me a beer and I bought her a sex on the beach. She saw the fruit floating round in that thing. I held it out and she started to grin. She took the beer from my hand and said, thank you, man. I didn't take her for the 4X kind. And she said, boy, have you lost your mind? Oh, yeah, I like beer. It makes me grin from ear to ear. Not just every now and then. I'm talking 365 days a year. I can drink around the clock. I don't like it just a little bit. I like it a lot, cold or not. Oh yeah, I like beer. Yeah, it's good for is good for getting through a lonelier time. Everybody knows you shouldn't drink too much, so why does it always seem like there's never enough? Oh yeah, I like beer. It makes me grin from ear to ear. Not just every now and then. I'm talking 365 days a year. I can drink around the clock. I don't like it just a little bit. I like it a lot, cold or not. Oh yeah, I like beer. Tell them, fellas. Oh yeah, we like beer. It makes us grin from ear to ear. Not just every now and then. We're talking 365 days a year. We can drink around the clock. We don't like it just a little bit. We like it a lot, cold or not. Oh yeah, we like beer. Oh yeah, oh yeah, we like
Sam. Even the dog loved that song.
But maybe he wants us to stop.
He's begging us.
Oh, well, there you go, listeners. What a great song requested there by Peter and Patsy from the Silverton Hotel. His favourite singer, Adam Harvey, and what a great track. Yeah, I like beer. Continuing on now with John Dynan from the John Dynan Gallery.
How are you today, John?
Good, mate.
Good on you. Yeah. Thanks for having us in in this beautiful gallery of yours.
Yeah, no, it's all right.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. Yeah. Now, I want to ask you a couple of things, mate. How long have you been a full-time artist?
Nearly 50 years.
Nearly 50
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
Okay, so where did you come from originally?
Broken Hill.
So you were born in Broken Hill?
Yeah.
And you now live in Silverton?
Oh, no, I not now live in Silverton.
No?
I moved back about 6 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, I was out here 35 years.
Okay.
And then the wife wanted to move to Mildura.
Yep.
Something different.
Mm-hmm.
So we sold up everything we owned, took off to Mildura. Lasted 11 months. She missed the kids and missed Broken Hill. So we sold up in Mildura and come back.
Okay.
And then I bought this little shed off me mate.
Okay.
About 6 years ago.
Right.
But we live back in Broken Hill now.
You're in Broken Hill, which is, as we said at the start of the interview, it's only about 23 kilometres from here.
Yeah, and I love the drive.
You love the drive?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about all the bumps? We got like the dips.
That. They keep me awake.
So how many dips is there? Have you counted them?
I think there's about 36 or...
36.
There used to be about 70.
Oh, okay.
And they fixed all the bad ones up.
Okay.
But you got to know which side to go into the dip.
Okay.
Sometimes you got to go in on the wrong side of the road.
Oh, really?
The left-hand side's sort of flat on the other side. Okay. And you'll hit it and nearly wrecks your front end. And,
okay. So. Well, that's something good for the listeners to know, okay?
Yeah.
Make sure you enter the dips on the right side. Or slow down, unless, of course, you want a thrill ride to Silverton.
No, you don't slow down. You might have the tourist up your backside.
As you can imagine, listeners, Dino, his mates call him Dino, he's a bit of a local character. Now, they tell me that you've got a reputation to hear you. They tell me you're the local mayor. Is there any truth to that, or is this just a bit of a rumour? It's not, obviously you're not the official mayor, but...
No, I'm the unofficial mayor, but also I'm the sheriff in the town drunk. And the only thing that we haven't fought over out here is the town drunk.
Okay.
Title.
So. Okay.
So but I usually win it.
You usually win the fight. Crikey.
Yeah.
Oh, John, I knew this was going to be a fun interview right from the start. Now, a lot of your paintings here, we're in your gallery now, a lot of the paintings are emu-related. What's your fascination with the emus?
Well, that's a long story too. I might get you 7 minutes there.
Okay.
I bought two galleries and a house up on the hill.
Okay.
And they were from Peter Brown, and he was actually the emu man.
Right.
Right, in Australia.
Okay.
And then when he sold it to me,
yep.
I said, do you want to leave your paintings here? So he left his paintings with me.
Yep.
And just over the years, people kept asking me for prints and souvenirs and whatever. And so I rang him up and asked him, would you do souvenirs and prints? And he said, no, I'm not into that. And I won't tell you what he really said.
Okay.
And he said, why don't you paint your own emus? And I said, I wouldn't. I've never looked at painting an emu and I'm not going to.
Okay.
And he said, no, serious. He said, do two heads of an emu.
Right.
Have them poking your head over a back fence, a corrugated iron fence or something.
Yes.
And give it a go. So right. I did.
Yep.
And then 20 years later, I'm the emu man now.
You're the
so
emu
man. So I pinched his title.
Okay.
And he knows about it.
And he doesn't mind?
He don't care. He's happy.
He's not asking you for royalties?
No. And then he's been to my art shows and he stood in front of all my emu paintings with red stickers on them, which it means sold. And then I'd walk up to him and he's shaking his head thinking, oh, you know, look what I've done.
I shouldn't have retired.
And I said, you know, it's your fault. And he said, yeah, I know that. You told me to paint it. And I said, now I've got a fascination with him myself. So yep. I try to put him in all different, you know, like I'll have police, I'll have firefighters,
yep.
I have miners, or anyone's trade,
yes.
I'll put a hat on them.
Okay.
For that trade. So.
Okay, yeah. Well, I notice you've got a fireman's helmet behind you, which you said you're painting up for a friend.
Yeah.
And you've got a bit of an Australian landscape happening there, and you're going to put a couple of emus on it for the firefighter. A
couple of firefighting emus on there, with the one with the boss's hat and one with the worker's hat.
Okay, okay. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, I noticed when we came in, your workshops or your gallery, it's surrounded by bicycles. Now, what's the bicycle thing all about?
Well, that's when I bought the gallery.
Okay.
The bloke that was here collected bikes.
Right.
And then he said, I'll throw all these bikes up the dump. And I said, no, don't do that, because I love junk. And if you went up to my other two galleries on the hill that I used to have, there's junk, sculpted fences, sculpted trees, sculpted everything up there, cars, motorbikes, it works.
Okay.
And I'm starting to do it here too. So, and my whole gallery.
Yes.
I add something to the gallery every day.
Oh, really?
And when the artwork stops on the galleries, the day I'll be dead.
Okay.
Yeah, so, every day.
All right. So Lynn, you might be added to the gallery. Well, I might have to leave you out the front.
Oh, if she stays here long enough, I'll paint it.
Oh, fantastic stuff. Now, you've also done lots of landscapes. You've got this outside of here where you've got the bicycles, you've got the car. Yeah. What's that white car all about? Beam me up with a...
The Beamer.
Yeah.
Well, that was actually on one of the bashes.
Uh-huh.
And what happens in that bash, wherever that car conks out, they leave it.
Okay.
As long as the people where they leave it want it.
Yes.
And they pulled up here, conked out. So they said, well, look, and they told me the story. And I said, oh, yeah, leave it. I said, I've never had a BMW.
Okay. So when did that arrive? How long ago was that?
Oh, that's about 2 years ago.
About 2 years ago, yeah.
But I'm going to end up painting emus on it.
You are?
But I've got to wait till the stickers and all that wear off.
Yeah.
So there's... Because they like to get a little bit of publicity.
Of course.
So once that's worn off, I'll just paint emus on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the Volkswagen with no wheels, it's got cans of paint all over it. Was that just, and it's just a massive splash of colour everywhere. Was that too many beers one night and you just started throwing cans of paint at it?
It probably was. But a mate of mine said, you want an old Volkswagen and he wanted to get rid of it. So I said, bring it out and dump it in there. So part of the sculptured farm.
Part of the sculptured farm.
I'm going to actually keep adding sculptures all out the front. And
okay. So you don't actually do sculpting, though. You're an artist.
No,
so
I get other people to make the big metal sculptures.
Uh-huh.
And I've got a heap out there now, but I'm going to actually fence them all in and have a big sculpture farm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Ned Kelly, you didn't make Ned?
No,
Ned's
my
out
mate
the front.
Made that.
Okay. And what about the toilet? What about the dunny with the lady sitting
in? That was picked up in town from one of my old mates' granddad's old house.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's 130 years old.
130 years old.
Old Danny.
Wow.
And the lady sitting in it, she's about 130 years old too, I think.
Christ.
Did you see the lady sitting in
there? I saw the lady sitting in there. And now I've got to ask you, we were chatting before we started the interview. You said you hate the heat.
Yeah.
Now, your shed's pretty well, or your gallery, you've got half of it insulated, and the other half's not, because you said you want to keep it original.
Yeah.
What makes a person who hates the heat want to live in Broken Hill and work in Silverton?
Well, I haven't always hated the heat.
No.
When I was younger, I
loved the heat.
Loved the heat, the summer and everything. But when I think when you get older, it's just gets too hot here.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't like the winter either, so there you go.
There you go. Okay.
I like the in-between.
Yeah. So you don't see yourself sort of retiring somewhere near the coast in the next 6 months or 5 years? Or
what do you mean? I retired 50 years ago.
Yeah, no, I mean, but getting away from the dust and the flies and, you know, you love Broken Hill and Silverton.
No, if we got away from the dust and that, we wouldn't be able to breathe.
No, fair enough.
We breathe the dust. We live on it.
We live on it. Now, Lynn, I'm going to ask you, have you got any questions for John? I see you walking around here, you're taking photographs of everything and... It's a extremely colourful gallery. I've got to tell you that, listeners, and there's emus everywhere.
So you have a fascination with the bright colours, or is that just rubbing off on the whole landscape?
It's just me, I think. I don't know why, but you put me into a paint shop, like a house paint shop.
Yep.
Just the colours does something to me.
Oh, right.
I just want to pick them all up and take all the colours home.
Yeah. No, they're nice, bright and vibrant.
I love vibrant colours.
Yeah. And also, too, you mentioned the Amazing Race. So they came through town.
Yeah. No, I can't tell you anymore because I'll get sued.
I understand.
And I can't afford to be sued.
No. So people have got to keep an eye out and they'll see your gallery.
I'm actually waiting on that one because I want to see what it was like. But they actually did it in the gallery and outside the gallery.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so...
Oh, well, there's something to watch out for.
Bit of publicity.
Yeah, very good.
Now, I noticed, just before we wind this up, John, you've got all these colours of yellow splattered all over the floor. Is that your next project in... Yes?
You know how I did that. I dropped a bit. I was shaking a big tin of yellow paint.
Okay.
And the bloody lid come off and... It went all over me. I painted my whole self and it's all over all me $4,000 paintings.
Oh, goodness.
Over me prints, over me cupboards.
I was hoping that we could turn that into something and sell it for $1 million because it looks quite artistic, even though it was an accident.
Yeah, well, the $4,000 painting that the yellow paint splattered on, I'll put that up $1,000 now.
Fair enough, John. All right, my friend. Well, listen, thank you so much for your time. We're going to have to wind this up. But before we do that, I'm going to play you a song. It's got to be Australian.
Yeah.
So who's your favourite Australian artist?
Stephen Rowe.
Stephen Rowe.
Yeah, he's an ex-Broken Hill boy.
Okay.
And he sings about things that I love and where I grew up.
Okay.
Like in Patton Street out the south. And
Patton Street,
He's a very good singer.
Well, he's got a song called Patton Street, doesn't he?
That's it, and that's the one I would
That's
like.
The one you want to hear.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's all about a street in Broken Hill.
That's it.
Fantastic stuff. And interestingly to note, Tanya Kernaghan, she sort of gave him his big break, didn't she?
Yeah, he sings a lot with her.
Fantastic.
Yeah, she's been out here heaps of times to Silverton.
Okay.
Yeah, to the music festivals. And,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next time she's out here, John, you have to give me a tip off, okay?
Well, so she'll probably be here for that big bash, I think.
Monday.
Yeah, I'm not sure if she's in it or not.
Well, we're gonna be in that for that. We're going to be down here for that, so that's going to be fantastic. Yeah. All right, John. John Dynan, listeners from the Dynan Gallery, Dino to his friends, and... thank you so much for your time, John.
That's all right.
It's been a pleasure. Listeners, stick around. We're going to play you that song right now, Patton Street by Stephen Rowe. And straight after that, more Roman Oz.
She came out to the south to play with a good friend. Was out in Patton Street at the top end, and somehow or somewhere we met along the way. And who'd have thought that moment would be still in my heart today? Your smile was so pretty, your eyes were so bright. You could light up my darkness, you lit up my life. And when you first kissed me with innocence of love, I thought you were an angel that was sent from above. Fly, fly away into the great blue sky. And I knew it all along, angels flying too close to home. We moved out to the north, the same street that you live. Went past your place almost every day. I was still a kid. I was hoping that I'd see you standing out in the front. and I wanted that feeling again, that feeling of love. Well, time moved on and I moved away. It must have been 20 years later I saw her one day. Her smile was still pretty, her eyes were still bright, and it brought back those feelings in Patton Street that night. Fly, fly away into the great blue sky, and I knew it all along, angels flying too close to home. Got a call from back home saying, did I know a girl named Anne-Marie? She lived on down the road. She used to hang out with her brother for quite a few years. And when I put down that phone, up came the tears. Fly, fly away into the great blue sky, and I knew flying too close to home. She came out to the south to play with a good friend. Was out in Patton Street at the top end, and somehow or somewhere we met along the way. And who'd have thought that moment would be still in my heart today.
Well, there you go, listeners. What a great song. Made famous there, of course, by Stephen Rowe. And the song was called Patton Street. And sadly, the Monday Bash, it's not going ahead due to blasted COVID. And we were all booked up and had some incredible interviews, which we had lined up with a lot of those artists. But because of the COVID, hey, Monday has been cancelled until April of 2022. We're going to continue on now, and we are now going to be catching up with Adrian from the Mad Max Museum.
Adrian, how are you doing there, Adrian?
Very good, thank you. Very good, thanks, Matt.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. One thing I'd like to say before we talk about your wonderful museum, I noticed, and there are a couple of four-legged friends in here. Now, you're pet-friendly.
Yes, we have always been pet-friendly here. We love dogs, well, we love all animals. We have a couple ourselves. And over time, we've noticed that there's more and more people are travelling with the pets.
Right.
And they've actually told us as well that more and more places are more accommodating to us.
Fantastic.
And so rather than have to leave them in the car or the caravan, anything like that, you know, it's just nice that they can come through and bring the little fellas with them.
Which is absolutely brilliant, because you're right, there are so many people now travelling with their pets. Now, look, let's talk about this incredible museum of yours. You come from England. We can immediately hear that in your accent. Yes. What made you come halfway across the world to set up Mad Max?
Well, it all started back in 82 when I was 18. So this was May of 82 when Mad Max 2 had been released. The first film was a support film. I'd never heard of them. There was a few of us that were into motorbikes. We got into bikes, so and that's what we enjoyed doing, riding out to the country, having a few beers and that kind of thing, and just enjoying ourselves, you know.
Right.
And a couple of friends had, for some reason, I don't know why I hadn't been with them, but for a couple of reasons, on the Friday night, they'd been to see Mad Max 1 and 2. So when I met up with them on the Saturday, they were trying to tell me about these biker movies. So they said, Adrian, you've got to go and see these movies, you know. They didn't really tell me much about them, but I just expected to go see biker movies. So I said, well, all right then, I'll go along with you. And, you know, I was more interested in going to the pub, to be honest. But I said, no, go on, we'll go see these films, you know. I was blown away. I have never seen anything like it in all my life. It turned out to be a lot more than biker movies.
Absolutely.
I didn't know at the time the Australian films either, until I actually saw the films. And as you'll know yourself, there's always a uniqueness about Australian cinema that makes it stand apart from the usual kind of films we get. And I couldn't believe what I'd seen. It's really difficult to put my finger on what it was about the movies. I suppose, of course, the whole car thing and the bike thing appealed to me.
Right.
But it was everything about it. It was the landscape, the characters, you know, and just everything seemed to work perfectly with these films. And I came out of the cinema, my head was buzzing with what I'd seen, and immediately just wanted to know more about the movies, who'd made the movies, where they were shot, and things like that. And that set me on this quest. And it really was a quest. I mean, the passion began then. And it wasn't long after that that I actually met Linda, and our first, probably first official date, I suppose. I said to Linda, instead of taking her to a restaurant or something like that, I said, have you ever seen Mad Max? You know, Mad Max and Mad Max 2, the movies. And she said, no. So that was really what we ended up doing. We went to see him at the cinema.
Yep.
And that's where it all started. So Linda's my wife, she's known the passion all this time as well. So and that's really, you know, how it all started. So in 2004, that was the first time that we ever got the opportunity to come as a family. We'd had four sons, and they were kind of in the teenage years at that point. And we decided that we would spend 2 weeks. That's all the time we had, really. So we'd spend 2 weeks in Australia, the first week down around Geelong, where the first film was shot.
Yes.
And then the second week was to come out to Broken Hill and Silverton, which we were so excited about. So we arrived in Broken Hill. This was just before sunset. Drove out here to Silverton, grabbed a beer at the hotel, the Silverton pub. Went out to the Monday lookout, and it was funny, you know, because I actually felt like I'd come home.
Really?
I'd familiarised myself with the area so much with watching the films and what have you, that it just felt right. I have to tell you that I got goosebumps when I went out there. I couldn't believe where I was. And I said to my wife, I said to Linda, do you think you could live here? And thinking it would never happen, she said, yes. Well, that was my ticket. That was it. So that's really... When we got back to England after the holiday, that's really when it started, you know, when we started the ball rolling to actually come and live here.
Okay.
Now, the idea for the museum, so, I mean, at this point now, I'm really, really passionate about the movie. That was really why Mad Max 2, that was really why I came here. But I was really surprised to find that this being the Hollywood of the Outback, which is great. There's always films being shot here. There's always somebody famous that's
absolutely
hit.
Yes.
But there was nothing that really paid homage to the movies, not just Mad Max 2, but the movies that have been shot here. And I found it really odd, because even though this is the history behind Broken Hill and Silverton, of course, is the mining. There's a lot of history here.
Yes.
But a lot of visitors, a lot of people that come here because they know at least one of the Mad Max movies was shot here. That's what we're hearing and what we're. And what we're finding. So I thought to myself, well, if I'm ever lucky enough, if I do get accepted into Australia and I do get the opportunity to ever move out this way, I would definitely do something. I would definitely do some kind of display. I didn't realise I was going to do something quite like this.
This is quite a spectacular display, I've got to tell you.
No, thanks, because so this is really the end result of really what we achieved here. So we've been open coming up to 11 years now, so we didn't have everything we have now when we first opened. I was quite concerned about being able to fill the place, because I didn't, when I had the idea to do the museum, I didn't really have anything as such. I was going to, it was really a case of relying on and getting to know people that were involved with the film, in the film, sorry, a lot of Broken Hill locals that may have kept things, but I knew about a few things, but then it just started. You know, I got to know people. The media were really kind to us. It went out on the news that this mad Englishman had moved halfway around the world to build a museum. So it wasn't thick and fast. It wasn't like people were queuing up to give me things or sell me things. But we got to the point in September 2010 where we thought, look, we can open up here. This is good. So, and then over the 10 years up until this point, we're at bursting point. We can't fit anything else.
That's
in
anything
it.
Else. You know,
we're kind of stuck, and I do have other things that I really need to put on display, But just at this point, I'm probably at the point now, after 10 years, where I can say I'm happy with the place.
Right.
Up until this point, there's always been other things I've really wanted to do and improve things, but I'm pretty happy with where we are at the moment with
yes.
it. So that really is, that's really, kind of in a nutshell, of the beginnings of my passion to where I am now.
Okay. Mm. Now, we were here about 2 years ago, and I noticed that quite a few things have changed in the last 2 years. So for anybody that has been to the Mad Max Museum, you know, there are things to see that wouldn't have been here 2 years ago. So tell some of the listeners what you've added to your display.
Yeah, well, that's what we like to do, is to keep the place fresh, because we do get return visitors. So
yes.
Over this last 12 months, we've put another vehicle in, which is it's still a rare car. It's the two-door Chrysler, the two-door Valiant they used. In the film, it was a replica that we put together for that, which is absolutely, it was a great piece in the film as well. But we didn't actually have any room for it, so I actually had to build another extension to move some things over the other side.
Right.
So we could fit this in. This is a problem here, is especially when you want to put another vehicle in, is actually trying to get it in the place.
Of course.
And then. Even though this wasn't from the Mad Max 2 movie, but it was still a kind loan from this particular person. We actually got probably some of the listeners will remember Kundalini from the first film, in the famous scene where he throws the chain onto the car and loses his hand.
Yes.
Most people that come through the door always coin that phrase.
Okay.
You know, they always say Kundalini wants his hand back. Well, Paul, Paul Johnston, that actually played Kundalini, contacted us a few months ago,
right.
And he said, look, Adrian, he said, I know that this isn't from the second film, but I just wondered if you'd be interested in displaying it. He said, I've actually come across the belt that I wore in the first film. He said,
right.
I've forgotten I had it. He said, I can't think of anywhere better. He said, and I'd like people to see it. And I said, well, there still is an interest in your character, even for people that come to see the Mad Max 2 music.
Yes.
So he sent it through not too long ago. We've put it on display now, and he actually made up like this certificate of authenticity, and at the bottom, instead of putting Kundalini wants his hand back, he said Kundalini wants his belt back. So a little bit of humour there. But that's a great thing about it is when people come across things,
right.
I think the first thing they think about is, you know, it should really be on display at the Mad Max Museum.
Absolutely.
You know, because if, and it always, you know, the people that loan us things, it's nice to get the loans, because at least they can still tell people, you know, oh, look, I've got this particular item, it's, you know, but it's on display at the Mad Max Museum. And we always put an acknowledgement on everything,
yes.
so that anybody that comes through here can see who's loaned us something or donated something to the museum. So there was another item that we had, which was a great find as well, from one of the bad guys, actually an all-weather mask that some of the buggy riders wore. A friend of mine in Broken Hill that actually worked on the film just came across this, and it blew us away, because you know, you'd expect these things to be just thrown away on and never turn up again, especially after 40 years.
Yeah.
And when he actually came up, he said, you won't believe what I found, and he got this thing out. Oh, jeez, it was like finding a gold nugget.
Yeah.
So that's in the display case in there as well. So,
yeah.
And there's some, you know, it's usually subtle pieces as well, you know, that you just add in there. But, you know, people have been before, they notice these things.
Yes.
You know, they come to us, oh, I didn't notice this before, I didn't notice that before. You know? So there's always so much to look at. We may have missed this before, you
yes.
know. But that's the main thing, is keeping it interesting for the return visitors. Because,
yes.
you know, once I've looked around and seen it, it's nice to come again, but it is nice to see these little bits and bats that just add to the whole thing.
That
you know?
Are different,
And the more things I can actually put in here for people, well, the better it is, the more they can see, you know, the better it is. So.
Mm-hmm.
And we're constantly working on that. I do have some other bits and pieces that I've had for a while, but it's just a case of finding the right spot for them. You know what I mean? The museum is supposed to look a little bit junky. It is Mad Max. You know, it is supposed to be post-apocalyptic. Post-apocalyptic.
Yes.
But it's just finding that right spot. So just at the moment, I'm working things out to add these new items, which we'll get in as soon as we can.
Now, we should say, too, for the listeners, that although you've got replicas out here, you've got a lot of original photographs and so on and so forth from the movies, haven't you, that were given to you?
Yes, the photographs for me, I think, they're absolutely incredible. They capture a moment in time, of course, that would otherwise be lost. And something as special as Mad Max 2, you know, something as special as this movie, if there hadn't have been so many photographs taken, it would have, you know, it wouldn't have documented really the incredible filmmaking that took place back then. So there's been a lot of locals and including crew members that I've met, you know, prior to that, that decided that they thought the best place for the photographs would be here.
Okay.
And they're incredible photographs.
They are absolutely incredible
photographs. Yep. You know, I would never have imagined in a million years that 40 years ago in an Australian movie that so many people would have taken so many great shots, because it was back before the digital age, you know? And you had to physically get them developed, and a lot of the locals and people that had photographs had forgotten they had them. They put them in, you know, tucked them away in cupboards and drawers and just forgotten that they were there, you know? And it's same with the original pieces we have. You know, people over time, over the years, have contacted us. You know, people that worked on the film as well as Broken Hill locals, you know, because there's so many people in Broken Hill worked on the film that have forgotten they had things.
Yeah.
You know, that was just incredible. They'd either come up to see me or give me a call and say, look, you know, I've come across this. This is what we use on the film, or, you know, I've got come across that. And would you like to have it? You know, would you like to put it on display? It's just been incredible. You know?
Fantastic.
Really incredible. I mean, things from actual genuine things and original things from this film are so rare. That's the thing. It's not like you can go on eBay and type in.
No.
You wouldn't find anything. They have to belong to people. You
know?
And it's down to those people to actually come forward. And one of the kind of rules that we did discuss when we first opened is we wouldn't pester anybody.
Okay.
Even though I knew certain people may have had things, we thought, no, we won't contact people or pester them. They were aware of us, and we thought it's best if we just leave it up to those people to come forward, you know.
Right.
Otherwise, you can put yourself in an awkward position. You know, if somebody says, no, I don't want to display it, it kind of, you know, a little bit awkward. But so we thought we'd just leave it to people, and they've been wonderful. The generosity's been fantastic. Although some of the items that we've had to purchase for the museum has been very, very, very expensive.
Okay.
But we've managed to get the money together to buy them, because they are so rare and one-offs, and of course a lot of the items for the film were custom made.
Yep.
You won't see them anywhere else, and we're a better place. And this is my life.
Of course.
You know, this is what I do every day, this is what I think about every day, and so it's not a problem. As long as we've got the finances to be able to purchase these things, then we'll get as much as we can
and keep the museum
and just keep it
changing.
That's
and
right, yeah.
Get them growing larger and larger.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Now
yeah.
I noticed some of the photographs out there. You've got signatures from some of the people, from some of the actors.
Yes.
And there's actually two photographs out there with Mel Gibson's sisters.
Yes.
Now, has Mel ever come to the museum?
No. Mel's never come back here. I think. I mean, to be honest, Mel lives, of course, overseas.
Of course,
lives in America.
Yes.
I think to do a special trip here for us may be a little bit too much to ask. Although I wouldn't count it out.
Yep.
I have faith. I think if he was possibly over here again, maybe doing a movie, if he had the opportunity, maybe if he could call in, that would be great. But his sisters were wonderful. Tricia came first of all. That was I think that was 2017.
Right.
And she was just. It was just wonderful. It was a wonderful meeting, and it was a big honour.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
I didn't want to do cartwheels in front of Tricia, but I was so excited, you know.
Yeah.
And then late last year, Sheila actually called Linda, my wife, and explained who she was.
Yes.
She was so funny. She had us in stitches. They were just the most... Two of the most beautiful people you can meet.
Okay.
It was just wonderful.
Fantastic.
Really, really humbling as well. But to be in the company as well, you know, of Mel's sisters.
Mel Gibson's sisters.
Big deal, you know. It was a real big deal having Mel's sisters
of
here.
Course.
Never mind Mel.
Of course.
But we do live in hope to get Mel here. But I've had some really, really nice people. And everybody I've met from the film.
Okay.
It's like you've known them for years.
Okay.
No egos, anything like that. As soon as you come through the door, they just treat you like they've known you for years, as you know. I even met George. Couldn't make it here, George Miller, the director, when they were doing pre-production for Fury Road. He couldn't make it here, but his wife, who actually got his wife, Marg Sixel, she was wonderful. She brought his two sons through, the two sons. She actually got the Oscar for editing the latest film, Fury Road. She was wonderful as well. But I did meet George, this would be about 12 years ago, down in Sydney.
Okay.
Another great fella. It was just wonderful, you know.
Yeah.
So just a real honour. But we've had quite a lot of the crew come through. Even the big star, Vernon Wells,
right.
Who played Wes in the film. He nearly took the spotlight off Mel Gibson, I have to say, in Mad Max 2. It was Vernon, really, that I really wanted to know who he was.
Okay.
It was just incredible, his performance and his character was incredible. But I'd met him in England.
Yep.
That was a huge deal for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was very nervous meeting him.
Yep.
I think this was back in 2014.
Yes.
And I never thought I'd meet him again. And then in 2012, we got a phone call from his best friend down in Victoria, where he's from.
Yes.
And he says, "Oh, Adrian," he said, "look," he said, "Vernon Wells is going to be coming over to Australia. It's going to be a fairly quick 6-week tour of Australia, but he'd like to start off at the museum." Oh, it was over the moon. And he was absolutely, it was just incredible. When you see him in the film, oh my God,
his
character.
Guy's out of
control. But he was absolutely wonderful. Just to give you an idea of what he was like, we're just going back to talking about our little four-legged furry friends.
Yes.
Vernon is a big animal lover.
Okay.
He's a real big animal lover. Now, at the time we had the little deaf blue healer we had. And this is he went on to work in Hollywood with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Dennis Quaid and people like that. I mean, he did some big films in the 80s.
Yeah.
So you just imagine this Hollywood actor rolling about in the dirt in his clean clothes, not bothered, with our dog. That's what kind of a guy he was.
Wow.
And that's literally what everybody I've met has been like from the movie when they've come through that door. And that adds to the whole experience for me.
Okay.
You know, that and the stories as well, being able to pass on the stories as well, you know. The people behind the camera as well. Graham Grace Walker, who was an incredible production designer on this film, he was just wonderful. Everybody that I've met, they've been so forthcoming with information, and they've just wonderful. You know, they don't mind signing autographs, having a photograph with you, that kind of thing. You know, and out of it, I've made good friendships out of it. You know, especially with some of the stunt team that are obviously getting on a bit now. You know, but 3 times a year, I go over to the East Coast and catch up with. 3 of the members of the stunt team that are a little bit too old now to try and make the journey to see us. I feel it's like doing my little bit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They probably don't realise, you know, that for 40 years they've kind of done so much for me in life by what they achieved in this movie.
Yeah.
So it's my way of giving a little bit back.
I understand.
And it's a real, as I say, it's a big honour to be friends with these people, you know.
Yep.
But that's, yeah, so that's what it's been like, you know. I've made good friends and met so many wonderful people. I've just got no complaints at all, you know. Life for me when I came to Australia just took off.
Yes.
You know, they said life began at 40.
Yeah.
It did for me, you know, it really did for me, you know. So it's just been incredible. Wouldn't change anything.
Well, that's great. That's absolutely fantastic to hear, Adrian. Yeah. And you've taken so much of your time. I know you're a busy man.
Oh.
I really appreciate you giving us an insight to your museum and an insight to some of the actors and characters and people on the crew. We're going to have to wind this up now. I've got to play a song for you at the end of this, and it's got to be Australian. As
yes.
you know, that's all we play out here in Australia. Well, that's all I play.
Yes.
Who's your favourite band, Adrian?
Well, I think it would have to be... It's going to have to be AC/DC.
AC/DC. Well, I think AC/DC, they're a pretty wild band.
Yes,
Mad Max
are.
Was a pretty wild movie. Have you got a favourite song by AC/DC?
There's one that gets me all the time, and that's For Those About to Rock.
For Those About to Rock. Well, listeners, stick around for more of Roman Oz, because we'll be back with it straight after this track. Thank you so much, Adrian.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
With overseas travel in lockdown, there's no better time to see what's offering in your own backyard. And if you want to do it in style, with all the bells and whistles, then 7th Street Caravans, located at 2212 Pacific Highway, Heatherbrae, is where the journey begins. Check out their range, Paramount, Silver Valley, Road Trip and Option RV. With dozens of layouts, there's something for everyone's needs. 7th Street also has a large range of pre-loved vans. They won't be beaten on price, so grab yourself a knockout deal today. Phone Aidan and the team on 4987 5288 or check out the website 7thstreetcaravans.com.au. Well, there you go, listeners. That's our program for today, all about Silverton, one of my most favourite towns, along with Broken Hill. Now, I'm announcing the winner of our one-year supply of RV Guard Enviro Wash, the waterless wash, an incredible RV Guard product. And the winner is Ian Jorgensen. Now, Ian, you've got 24 hours with which to contact Roman Oz, okay? You can do that via the Facebook page. You can also do it at info@romanoz.com.au, or you can give me a call on 1300 494 988. Now, you've got 24 hours with which to contact me, and if you don't contact me within that period, you have, in fact, lost out on your lucky one-year supply of RV Guard Enviro Wash. Now, we are doing this competition every single month. So if you didn't win it, listeners, you got to keep following the Facebook page, like us on Facebook, and follow us on romanoz.com.au. And also, don't forget to listen to the program, okay? We've got a lot of people in there. We gave a lot of those VIP cards away while we were on the road. And if you've registered them, you got to be in it to win it, okay? So make sure you get those cards registered if you haven't done it already. So congratulations, Ian Jorgensen, if you contact us.
We hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or romanoz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.